have to come and worship you and to break bread and to remember Jesus. We thank you for the reading of your word and even earlier on how we can bring our prayers to you. And we thank you so much that you're a God who's so close to us and hears us and answers our prayers according to your goodwill. We thank you for the way that you've been looking after us, because it's been a busy time, and also people have had grief in their life and pain and suffering. And just thank you for how you're aware of all these things, and you're such an amazing God who cares for us more than we could ever comprehend. We thank you now for your word. We ask that your word would just you'd use to instruct us, to encourage us, to teach us. I know, Lord, you've laid this on my heart, and I ask that you would help us to understand the things in this great Old Testament passage. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine if you had a dream, and in that dream, a vivid dream, you see God coming, and he asks you this question: what would you like me to give to you? What would you answer? Think of all the things that we could respond with. As I think about that, that actually did happen, didn't it, to one person especially. We read about King Solomon. He experienced this. He had just been appointed the new king. He was a new and inexperienced king. His father, King David, had died, had passed away. And there was a time when Solomon was in Gibeon, and he was worshipping the Lord and sacrificing to God, when in that very night something very special happened. We read it in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, "Ask what you wish me to give you." What an opportunity Solomon had to request God for something. Do you remember what Solomon asked for? I imagine most of you would know that. What was it? Wisdom. That's right, wisdom. After praising God for his goodness and all that God had fulfilled to David and allowing Solomon to be on the throne, his request is made known. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, we read these words. Solomon says to the Lord, "Give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil." In other words, "Lord, I need wisdom." And that's exactly what happened. God was pleased to grant to Solomon great wisdom. What would you ask God for? Would it be wisdom? Would it be increasing your faith? I remember the disciples asked that. Would it be something else? Would it be being free from some besetting sin in your life? Or being holy and pure? Or would it be a passion for the lost? Or would it be having a ministry that you could use to glorify God to increase the kingdom? There's many things that we could ask for. Now, in our Bible reading, 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 to 14, I'm intrigued by something special happening in this story, where Elijah, who has power from God to grant this request, Elijah asks Elisha this question: "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you." And we're going to look at this wonderful account, this story, to see what Elijah requested. And we're going to see the requirement for him to meet that request and the result that happened. Also, let me just say to you that we've got two names that are very similar, Elijah and Elisha. So hopefully you'll be able to distinguish between which one we're talking about. Well, to begin with, let us recall that Elijah was a very great prophet of God. Isn't that so? What a colourful, fantastic person he was in the Old Testament scriptures. He was one of the great prophets of God. When I think about Elijah, I think of two great events. I think of the time when he prayed to God that it would not rain for 3.5 years. And God answered that prayer. It happened. There was no rain in the land of Israel for 3.5 years. Is Elijah some meanie? No. He was praying to God that his people might be humbled, that they might turn from their sins and embrace God. At that time, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel were ruling. They were shockers. And Elijah was praying that the people might be humbled by this famine. Then, after 3.5 years, he prayed for rain. And it happened. Remember that story. And the rain came tumbling down. Do you see the incredible relationship that Elijah had? And of course, I can't help but mention another great story, and that's the one on Mount Carmel. And Elijah had had enough of all these prophets of Baal, and he said, right, it's time to have a challenge. And so all the people of Israel came together on Mount Carmel, and Elijah came up with a proposal that the people were happy with, and King Ahab, and all the prophets of Baal had to build an altar and sacrifice an animal on it, and then they had to call on their God to light it up. And Elijah would do the same, make an altar, sacrifice an animal on it, and then he would call on the Lord God to light it up. Whoever lights it up, they're the true God. What do you reckon? Good test. So, the prophets of Baal went first. I love this story. And you know, most of the day they're dancing around doing all sorts of strange things, trying to call on their God to light up the sacrifice. You remember Elijah sort of gets involved in this? You know, he says to them, what's going on, guys? Maybe your God's asleep. Better shout louder. Maybe he's relieved himself. Well, he's going a bit funny here. Elijah going a bit too far, but he's stirring them up, and they're doing all sorts of crazy things trying to get their God, who's not a God. He's a dead God. He's not a real God. And there's nothing. But then Elijah builds an altar, sacrifices an animal. What else does he do? He wets it. He floods the whole altar and sacrifice with water. There's water in the trench. It's dripping wet. And then humbly, he prays to God. He prays that God would light it up. And he did instantly. Fire from heaven fell upon that sacrifice and consumed the whole altar and the offering. And the people were astounded. They cried out, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" This is the prophet Elijah and what he accomplished for God's glory. What a mighty man of God he was. Let's remember that he knew God. He walked closely to God. He was one who God used in a most amazing way. And how does Elisha fit into all this? Well, he had the privileged position of being an apprentice prophet to Elijah. He would have been there seeing incredible things, hearing the word of God being spoken through Elijah, and seeing the mighty deeds of God being done through Elijah. Can you imagine being an Elisha, a young man, beholding who God really is through the prophet Elijah? Well, one day, the time came when Elijah would leave this earth. Elijah knew this. You pick it up in the account that we read. All the prophets of God knew this too. And Elisha knew it as well. And just before Elijah would be taken, Elijah said to Elisha those words, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." What would Elisha request Elijah for? Would it be like Solomon's request? Wisdom. Would it be like the disciples of Jesus? Increase our faith. What would it be? When I think of Elijah's situation, there's three things at least he could have asked for. One could have been protection from wicked King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. They had killed many of the prophets of the Lord. He could have so easily asked for protection. Or he could have asked for prosperity, because the prophets of God were really poor and struggling. As we read, actually, later on, we find that. He could have asked that. Or he could have asked for just raw power from God to do majestic miracles. But what did Elijah request? Well, it's found in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, the second part of verse 9. And Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And that request intrigues me. What is Elijah asking for? Now, is he asking that he might have that same fire, that spirit fire in his life? Elijah was quite a character. Was he asking something about having the same character of Elijah, the character, the spirit of Elijah? I believe, as the context shows us, there was something that Elijah saw in Elijah, and that's what he wanted. What did he see? What made Elijah such a great man of God? What enabled him to speak the word with power and conviction, to be able to do extraordinary things for the glory of God and to challenge the people back to God? Elisha knew what it was. What is it? It is the Spirit of God. Elijah knew the gold in Elijah was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Not more than his character or his personality traits or his means, it was the Holy Spirit. If you are a true Christian, one who has repented of your sins and received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, one who has called on Jesus to save you, and one who has committed their life to follow Jesus, then you have already been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in full. By God's amazing grace. It's what a grace it is. You have received the gift of the Holy Spirit the moment you were saved. You're not just saved, forgiven of your sins, and enabled to go to heaven. You have received the Holy Spirit. But like Elisha of old, as I read this Old Testament passage, do you greatly value the Spirit? Back in Elisha's day, very few had the Spirit. That's back in the Old Testament period. King David did, Elijah did, very few had God's Spirit upon them and in them. But we are living in this new covenant time. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, every Christian, every born again Christian has the Holy Spirit. What a difference. First of all, praise God for that. It's not just upon certain people, the great missionaries in our world, the great preachers in our world. Every true Christian has the Holy Spirit. But what challenges me here in this passage is, do I have a great love and an appreciation? Do I value the great gift that God has given us? Do I have a love and a hunger for the Spirit to be full in me? Now, I know Elisha says here he wanted a double portion of this Spirit. And I think of, how does that fit into the New Testament? We already have the Spirit. What does a double portion mean? But then I remember those words that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You know those words? He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can't help but think, wow, that's it. Do I have the heart of Elisha to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What's that mean? For him to be ruling me, to be filling me, to be controlling and influencing me in every area of my life throughout the day. Do we understand this is the gold that we're meant to hunger for? This is what we need. This is what it means to have the abundant life that Christ spoke of. Do you remember that? I have come to give you life and life to the full. Oh, yeah, that's when you die. No, right now. Right now we are to know this abundant life. And it's through the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. I look at Elijah and I can see he understands this. He knows exactly what he needs. He knows what is the gold in living. But do we? Do we think it's just the forgiveness of sins and going home to heaven one day? What about here, right now, being filled with the Spirit? The Spirit who connects us to God, who enables us to worship Him with all our heart. The Spirit who transforms us and changes us so that we might be made like Christ. The Spirit who makes us holy and who makes us productive and fruitful in the kingdom. The Spirit who fills us with peace and joy and comfort. The Spirit who affirms that I'm a child of God and who assures me of my home in heaven. The Spirit is the great gift that Christ has given you by you trusting Him. And we ought to, in what it says in Ephesians 5:18, we ought to long to be filled with the Spirit every day. Do we know anything of this? I think so many as Christians, I remember this in my own life, we just think it's all about being forgiven and one day going to heaven. Whatever happened to the gift of the Spirit? We're meant to be really desiring this. We already have the Spirit, don't get me wrong, if we're a Christian, but making sure that we really appreciate the Spirit and allow Him to rule and regulate, to control and influence our life in every part of me. I love Elijah's heart. He knew exactly what was the most important thing. Just think about Solomon. He asked for wisdom, but even wisdom is limited. And after some time, we know Solomon fell away. But there is something that is more precious than any wisdom, more precious than any power. It's the Holy Spirit. I love the way Jesus teaches us about the great gift that He would give when He would be glorified, that someone would come and not leave us as orphans and be with us forever, the Holy Spirit. But let's continue looking at 2 Kings chapter 2. There's some great things we can learn here. Let's look at verses 10 to 12 of 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah responds to Elisha's request. He said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." So that's great. Elijah's promised this great gift, but there was a requirement. Verse 11, "As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven." Oh, you got to picture that, eh? Man alive, what is going on here? What an entrance into heaven. He had a very unusual and rare going home to the Lord. He actually goes straight home to heaven. Chariots of fire. Horses of fire, not fire to hurt you. And a whirlwind taking him up to heaven. Can you imagine Elijah? And Elijah saw it and cried out, "My father, my father." That he's speaking there to Elijah. "The chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw Elijah no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces, a sign of humility and repentance at the grandeur of this vision. Well, what do you make of this? Elijah had to make sure, what was it? That he saw Elijah go home to the Lord. That was the requirement. And I can imagine Elijah, if I was Elijah, I'd be making sure that I am keeping myself alert. Coffee? Give me coffee. I don't want to fall asleep. I'm going to keep my eyes on Elijah because I want this blessing. I want to receive a double portion of the Spirit. And so I can just imagine Elijah doing everything he can to push off any tiredness and fatigue and have his eyes on. And then it happens. The moment comes. And he was successful. He saw what happened. He saw the chariots of fire and the horses of fire come and take Elijah up to heaven. Wow. And I just love that. I love how Elijah kept his eyes on Elijah to receive a double portion of the Spirit. I can't help as I look at that think, wow, what a very amazing parallel here exists for us. How can we be filled with the Spirit? How can we continue every day to be filled with the Spirit? Wow, it's similar to this. We've got to get our eyes off the things of this world. We've got to get our eyes off other people. We've got to get our eyes off ourselves. We've got to lift up our eyes to God. That's the secret. That's the key. That's how you become filled with the Spirit every day. To have your eyes on the Father, God the Father, to glory in His greatness and grandeur, to see His magnificence. It goes hand in hand with being filled with the Spirit. And to have your eyes on Jesus, to see Him in power and glory, to see the One who humbled Himself and died in my place and rose again so that I can have life. To have our eyes on the Father and the Son goes hand in hand with being filled with God's Spirit. How many of us do that? How many of us? We get so distracted with the things of this world. We're not looking where we should be. We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at other people. We're looking at all the problems. We're looking at the worldly things out there. And we get distracted. Our eyes are not where they should be. They're down. They're not up. And I can't help but see here a really important parallel. Elijah had to have his eyes on Elijah as he was lifted up to heaven. Our eyes need to be on our great God and His Son Jesus. That's how we get filled with the Spirit. I think of that song we sometimes sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." How true. That's a truth. But you've got to have your eyes on Jesus. And as you do that, then we are filled with God's Spirit. Well, let's have a look at this next part of the story. I'm going to read together verses 13 and 14. So Elijah also took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. What's going to happen here? Did Elijah get his request? We're going to find out. Verse 14. Elijah took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the waters, that's the waters of the Jordan, they were divided here and there, and Elijah crossed over. What's the result? The result of his request, the result of meeting the requirements, it really happened. He was filled with a double portion of the Spirit. And as he struck those waters, God revealed His power and presence. And He separated those waters miraculously. The prophets on the other side were quite impressed too. Let's read verse 15. "Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho opposite him saw him, they said, 'The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him." They knew that the Spirit that had been upon Elijah now rested mightily upon Elisha. What a result. It is so clear God's Spirit had come mightily upon Elisha. And over the years, straight away and right through the years, Elisha would be seen to be another great, mighty prophet of God. And yes, you can argue, even mightier than Elijah. The incredible, powerful deeds of God that he could do, and the mighty words that he spoke in a nation that was so hostile to God, are incredible. It's so good to read these stories, to see this man called Elijah, filled with the Spirit, with a double portion of the Spirit, not for his own glory, but for the glory of God, being such an amazing man of God. It is such a joy to read these accounts. And surely in us, we should be thinking, that's how I should be. Here we are living in a world that's rotting away, living in a world that is heading towards hell. We ought to arise, but we can't on our own. We need the Spirit of God to come upon us to help us, to shine Him to a lost and dying world. You know, I think of that question that Elijah said as he stood beside the Jordan River there. He says, "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Wow, what a question. And instantly God responded. Instantly it was made evident that the Spirit of God was upon Elijah. And I can't help but think about my own life. And I think, where now is the God of Elijah? Where now is this same God that we worship? Where now is the God of Elisha? Where now is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is He seen? Is He seen amongst us? Is He real and moving in our lives? Where now is He? We might not do the same miracles as Elijah and Elisha did. That was for a special time. But do we have, by the Spirit of God, a great heart for the gospel, a great heart to save the lost, a great heart to help bless the church, a great heart to shine Jesus? Is it evident in our life that this great God we worship is real and true in our life. Where now is the God of Elijah? Is he moving through me? That's what God wants. The problem is, so often he isn't, because we have been distracted. We are looking at the world and other things and not to God. We're half-hearted. We're one foot in this camp, one foot in the other camp. We need to break free of our attachments to the world, our focus on self. Be liberated from that and have our eyes on God our Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus, and to allow his Spirit to fill me and rule me. And then we can say, where now is the God of Elijah, the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus, and we shall see him working through us. May God do that in all of us. These are the days that really count before the great coming of our Lord Jesus. An Old Testament story, and yet I can't help but see such great parallels to us. Jesus has died and risen. He's coming soon. May we comprehend what Elisha saw was most important, having the Spirit, even a double portion of the Spirit. Well, we're going to sing now a song that's called Lord, the Light of Your Love. Our Father, we are so thankful for the two amazing and glorious gifts that you have given to us, prophesied long ago. There's one we love to speak of and how we should, the gift of the Son who gave himself for us to save us sinners, to bring us home to you. We are so thankful for Jesus. But we're also thankful for the gift that you spoke of and the Son spoke of, even your Son, the gift of the Spirit. We're so thankful that in your wonderful grace you have been pleased to allow us not to be orphans, as Jesus said, but to have the Spirit as we live here on earth. Some of us may not know too much about this, and that's sad, Lord. And I pray for all of us that we would really comprehend the great gift of the Spirit, the magnificence of this. Even Elisha saw this, that we might know the Spirit in our life. We might be open to him moving mightily in our life, that our eyes would be on Jesus and upon you, our Father. And through that, we might truly know what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Please, would you raise up in our society, in our world, vibrant Christians who are filled with the Spirit, who are courageous to speak the word, and who do those mighty deeds, especially saving souls, through your help. Help us to be used in these days. Thank you so much that you don't say that we've got to do it on our own strength, but we have your Spirit to help us, to move in us, to do the great things that you can do through us. Please speak to us, Father, about these things. May we be made alive in Jesus through your Spirit. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen.